What's going on? Welcome to Totally Blitz Podcast. We're about to talk UFC Fight Night, Blanchfield versus Fury. Low key a banger of a card, pretty stacked for Fight Night. Honestly, some of the best flyweight women fighters in the world are gonna go at it. Probably number one contender fight from what it looks like. But as always, before we hop into it, go down, like and subscribe, comment your picks, your bets. We'd love to hear them. I know I'm gonna give mine out, and I'm on a streak right now. I'm Paul, pick and win, I'm Contra, and I'm joined with.
You already know, man. It's your boy Kev, Waterboy Savoy, aka the Don PYE. Always known as the realest on your screen. And we all vibing, man. This is UFC Atlantic City. So you know they got my dog Chase Weidman on this card. And I feel like anytime there's a card in the Jersey or New York area, they're gonna have at least two people out of that Weidman what is it, the Ray Longo camp?
Yeah.
At least two every time.
And we got this. I love this card. Honestly, I didn't realize this card had it, but you already said Weidman, but that's why I had to bring it up. But Chris Weidman's on this card. It's his second fight back, the vet. He didn't win his last fight against Brad Tavares, didn't look too great. But another trip around the sun. He's getting a little healthier. We love the comeback story. Nothing but great wishes for him. He is +190, another underdog going up against Bruno Silva. A very tough matchup. Bruno Silva is a dog, but it's just always good to see him on a card fighting. Hopefully he gets a bell.
Oh, he has a good camp behind him.
Yeah.
Trinidad Billy, who just lost last week, so maybe them boys will be like, "Hey, I'm finna get him cut for you, big dog."
And it's probably not often, but back-to-back cards headlined by women.
Women's History Month.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely did. They found some good ones. Fury versus Blanchfield. I mean, I don't think I heard anyone complain about this paper. This main event.
I love me some Aaron Blanchfield. This is fine. Here you go. Oh, all right.
And then you can't even sprinkle around. You got Gilbert Burns' little brother, Herbert Burns, on the undercard. He's a +300 underdog. But still, it's cool to see him. Then Nate the Train Landier, +155 underdog, taking on Jamal Emmers, another cool little underdog. This fight kind of sticks out to me because Cedric Dumas, the fighter that was on like UFC Jacksonville, people then he got taken off. People didn't like him. All this shit bad. Like he hit a woman, but apparently it was like self-defense. I don't know. It was this big bad publicity. No one fucked with him. Then he's 9-1, but he's taking on some fucking killer I've never heard of. That was like he opened as like plus. I mean -300 favorite, and now he's only -200. So I guess people are fucking with the Dumas train. I don't know, but. It looks like the UFC is trying to kill him off after that bad publicity. The guy he's fighting, just to point out, 35-8-2 is a crazy ass record. He's only 30 years old. Averages 11.7 takedowns per fight.
Wow.
35-8-2.
That's crazy volume.
Yeah. So just saw he's on all my parlay. I saw that. That's all I know. I was like, the UFC's not fucking with old boy. They got a mauler. I know this story if I've ever seen it.
No, it's great.
Yeah. Should be a good card though. Outside of that, honestly, we got Chris Weidman versus Bruno Silva, Luque versus Buckley, Blanchard
Whoa.
versus Fury. Where do you want to start with that three-man lineup?
Gotta talk Luke Buckley because, boy, that's gonna be a banger.
Both of pick 'em -110 on both of their odds, split down the middle. Joquan Buckley's since moving down from middleweight to welterweight, he's looked pretty good. Two finishes in his last two fights at welterweight. Luque, we thought that boy. I mean, no joking, laughing matter. But we thought he was dead at one point in the UFC after the brain hemorrhage and stuff. comes back, fights RDA, what was, I think he was an underdog in that fight, and he wins pretty convincingly. And Namath's decision shows that he got the takedown, showed some wrestling. BJJ, you know he got it. But Buckley, definitely the bigger guy at welterweight. Even though Luque is a pretty big welterweight, Buckley's got the reach advantage, southpaw. He's built. Buckley's a big dude.
Facts.
Down a weight class. It's a pick 'em. Is Luque staying on 10 toes for the welterweight out there, or is Buckley moving his weight around in his new division?
I think I slept on Vicente Luque in the last fight. I thought RDA was going to fuck bro up. But after watching RDA's last fight recently, I'm thinking like, okay, RDA is a veteran. That's the best way to explain it. But shout out Luque for continuing his career after that brain hemorrhage, because that was a big deal. Glad to see that boy still fighting and doing his thing, what he loves. But this fight is going to be a pain, because Joaquin Buckley is a fucking, he's just a dog. Dog as fuck, coming down a weight class to motherfucking, so now he's the bigger dude, the stronger dude. And it's not even like it's going to be a huge speed difference, so it's just like, oh shit, this is going to be a banger, and I'm not going to lie to you. I might have to get my dog Buckley sleep on Vicente Luque one more time.
You're going to be picking your boy Buckley up off that canvas. Luque is such a technically great striker that Gianfino left hand did a lot of damage to him. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of people might make that comparison. Gianfino's left hand, Buckley's stronger, bigger. Probably like if he lands, it's going to be worse. But Gianfino's a way better striker. You know, I mean, you saw Ian Gary have to worry about striking with him to the point where like he was just always making sure he was not in striking range for Gianfino. Buckley's more of a wild man, and Luque's history versus wild man strikers is very good. And I just think we're gonna see him utilizing the leg kick. We're gonna see early probably Buckley's legs gone, and then Luque's is gonna move in. Buckley might get a couple takedowns. He does have the wrestling. He's a big strong guy, especially at this weight class, but I think Luque got one more in him. I think Luque is at a tier that separates the Buckleys from the rest of the division. I think Luque is a great guy to keep the Buckleys out of that top.
Man, you're saying that Luque gatekeeper?
Hey, but we did have a memorial service for Luque's chin after the Gianfino fight, so we will have to. I might have to walk back some of my statements just now, but I do think Luque is going to get this win. But we did have that memorial service for a reason.
I know. I do like the fact that Luque is such a technical striker, and I love the fact that he is he does well against wild animals, but I think this is one of those fights where Buckley comes in with a game plan. And he's still going to fight wild, but he's going to have a mission to stay on. And once he lands that one clean hit or those couple hits to start the combo or breaks down Luque over time, I think that's how that goes. Because the only way Luque can win this fight, I think, is through, like, split decision.
See, I got my finish if I had a pick, but I like to pick a mod. Minus 110, this fight is a legit, and it could go either way.
We'll see.
Weidman versus Silva's next on the it's not next in order, but what we have to talk for the main event. Weidman +190, Silva -235. To me, I mean, I love Weidman, the story and everything, but like -235, Bruno Silva is like, he isn't like on his way out of the UFC. They had him fight Sagomed Magomedov, the one-eyed killer that worked him. They had to fight Brandon Allen, who submitted him. But before that, he knocked out Brad Tavares in the first round. Brad Tavares, who just 30-27 Weidman in Weidman's return fight. I know MMA math isn't real, but all three of those fights for Silva was in 2023. It was last year. So, like, he's been fresh. He's actively fighting. He fought Alex Pereira, and a lot of people thought he won that fight because he got ground time. He was controlling Pereira. Pereira did have some good strikes, but Silva was able to land strikes on Pereira as well. Pierre, I mean, Silva just has a bad time against guys that have great submission game. Wyman, good wrestling, but I just can't. I just think Silva's a lock here. At minus 235, I know the odds aren't like the best odds, but like you pair that with that Russian killer that's supposed to take care of Dumas on the prelims, you got yourself a nice plus 100 parlay. If you even you feel you're feeling frisky, you can parlay with some of your other favorite picks. But like, yeah, Silva is a must, in my opinion, a must bet on against Wyman. All respect to Wyman, though.
Oh yeah, I got nothing but love for Wyman. But one thing we do know, UFC does not love their veterans. They do not sit there and want. They don't want 100 Robbie Lawler stories. They want this veteran to feed the next person, so the next person could take their spot on the come up. So, I think Chris Wyman coming out and continuing his career is nice. Love to see him fighting, but I do expect Bruno Silva to come out with a nice dub in this fight.
And the UFC doesn't want to see their veterans fighting in other organizations. So they typically make sure on their way out, they finish their career in the UFC. There isn't much left of them on that exiting out.
Facts.
Nice way of saying it. But then our main event, this is a great fight here. Aaron Blanchfield versus Manon Fariot. A lot of people, Fariot kind of took at UFC by storm in 2023 and 2022, coming from France. 2022, she beats Caitlin Shuikian, beats Jennifer Maya. 2021, beats Tabitha Ricci, beats Mario Bruno Silva. This year, she beats Rose Namajunas. She hasn't lost since her very first fight in MMA, which was a split decision loss, similar to boxing. A lot of people can argue that that was a robbery, and she should be undefeated in her career. But she lived and she learned, and since then has rattled off 11 straight wins, 6 by knockout, great kickboxing, great stand up. Former Cage War, former EFC champion, former UAE champion, looking to make her dreams real with the UFC championship next. She has to go through who is arguably, a lot of people are saying, the best non champion fighter at flyweight, and Aaron Blanchfield. Since we all know she completely derailed the Jessica Andrade train in 2023. Molly Meatball train died in the first round. Jessica Aldrich submitted her in the second round. Tatiana Santos, who I thought beat Shevchenko, who was in her young prime also. Talia Santos. This unanimous decision, her. 30-27, her honestly looks like the person who should fight for the belt next, until there's a French woman now that has this ran through her competition, and now these two must meet before one of them can fight Alexa Grasso. And can't make a better build up than that, honestly. This is a great fight. I want to see who you got. I know you love Blanchfield, but we haven't talked a lot of Fariot, so I don't know how you really feel about her.
Fariot is a killer. Straight up and down. There hasn't been too many people that looked good or great next to her. Rose, who just won last week, looked like a regular person. No thug.
Civilian thug. Rose.
So, I know Fariot is a killer for sure. But, I just love the way that Aaron Blanchfield has taken this division by storm. She literally killed all her competition, fucked up anybody we thought was great. So to fight Alexa Grasso next, I think this is the fight for it. 1,000% a number one contender fight. I love that it's a main event, Women's History Month. Shout out the women. But boy, I'm taking Aaron Blanchfield on this one because she's just a killer, and she's my favorite type of killer. Like, if I was to remake Kill Bill Paul, I would cast Aaron Blanchfield as the lead.
Fact. Hey, I co-sign it. I got her too in this fight. I love Fariot, but Fariot's a little older, 34, 24, Aaron Blanchfield. Blanchfield's entering her prime. Like, she is young, hungry. I'm not saying Fariot isn't hungry, but Blanche was 24 years old. She just went up against Santos, who, in my opinion, was should have been named champion after that Shevchenko fight. The wrestling that I thought was so dominant. I had Santos in that fight. I just thought her wrestling, her size, everything. Blanche handled that with ease. Well, had a perfect game plan for Andrade. Like she seems so focused. Striking's really good, and I just think overall her wrestling too. I just think she's the more complete fighter here. I got her in a lot of my parlays too. I'm going heavy with the Blanchfield in the parlays. I'm feeling pretty confident that she's gonna come out and get this win. Because before this fight, I was like, yeah, she should fight for the belt immediately next, after the Santos fight. So there's a little pit stop along the way. I have full confidence in her because I thought she should be fine for a belt anyway right now.
Facts, facts, facts. But yeah, shout out Aaron Blanchfield. That's a babes.
Yeah,
That's a
and this
babes.
isn't in the Apex, actually. This is going to be UFC Atlantic City up in New
Yeah.
Jersey.
Anytime they go to Jersey, man, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Except when is when they go to Boston, is when shit sucks.
Wonder who's got New Jersey connections on this card because you know at least a couple of them do.
Chris Weidman and them.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Longo's team, yeah.
I'm shocked. You're gonna see all them niggas out there. Matt
Aljo is
Favola,
going to be out there,
Aljo.
Rob.
Yeah, you're gonna see all them boys out there.
Should be a great card. Can't wait to watch it this weekend. Also, stay tuned for boxing. We got big Amazon Prime's first ever boxing cards this weekend. Gonna be a
Who fight
banger.
the box? Anybody I know?
Tim Tsui was supposed to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman pulled out, so Sebastian Fandor, the 6'7", like 154 pounders, fighting for the belt. Tim Tsui, unified champ. Who else is on that card? Rolly is taking on Pitbull Cruz. Rolly's defending his belt.
Is a world champion.
Yeah, I won. Pitbull Cruz is moving up to 140 to defend that belt. Julio Cesar Martinez defending his belt against Angel Cordova on that card.
Well, they spent bread.
Floyd Mayweather's prodigy Carmel Moulton's on that card.
Well, so
Elijah
they spent bread.
Garcia is fighting Tyron Davis, who Gator said might be fighter of the night on that for that whole card. Yeah, it's gonna be a banger ass card.
I was about to
Amazon
say
Prime,
they spent
yeah,
some bread on that part. Like,
Amazon Prime
yeah.
dropped the bag to make this card happen. Crawford's definitely gonna be in attendance because it's already Crawford versus Tim Tsui is supposed to be next when Crawford moves up. But that's if Tim Tsui beats Fandora. We'll find out this weekend.
Oh, this is about to be lit.
But I mean, well, I'll leave that off on the cliffhanger right there for y'all boys. Stay tuned for the recaps coming next week for both UFC and boxing. As always, we appreciate y'all watching. Go down, like, subscribe, comment your picks, comment your bets. I'm Paul Picklewinner, Kev Waterboy Savoy. And if y'all didn't know, now y'all know, motherfuckers.